Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tiki and Tierney rolling here. Coming from our studios, the Rocket Mortgage Studio. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Well, Rocket can. So, we first 2 hours flew by. Coming up this hour, Coach Dion with an interesting debut. On the field, it was great. Something went down off the field that was threw a little bit of a curveball into his weekend as he embarks on his coaching career, FCS Jackson State. And we'll get into the conversation there. Also, just, you know, do you have any interest in watching spring football? We'll get to that. So, the Texans continue to put signs out there. Whomever is willing to believe them, they're telling, we're not taking calls. We're not taking calls on Deshaun Watson. We're not taking calls on Deshaun Watson. Don't call us. We're not interested in trading Deshaun Watson. So I guess I would like to determine, at what point is there an expiration on that strategy? At what point do you obviously have to know if Deshaun Watson is going to actually play if you don't trade him?
Yeah.
And then also, if you can kind of combine both answers, or obviously go wherever you want, but if you can, also, when would it be deemed irresponsible to not take calls?
Well, I think they have to be taking calls, BT. What's happening is that whatever the offers are, they're just not good enough. Now, like, I think back to some of the most, like, asinine, massive trades in football, and there's not many of them. The only one that jumps to mind when I think of, man, they gave up the world, was the Miami Dolphins, right? When they traded their entire draft class for Ricky Williams.
Remember the Herschel Walker trade.
And Herschel, but that was, I mean, that was a little
that
bit different.
That was a big trade, though.
It was a big trade, but it was a different era, right? The money wasn't the same back when Herschel Walker Herschel Walker trade. The benefit of Herschel Walker trade was enormous. It was incalculable for the Dallas Cowboys because look at what happened to them. They became one of the few dynasties in NFL history, well, modern NFL history. And so, yes, the Herschel Walker run had an enormous impact. But I'm mostly talking about, like, what was given up, the compensation. And Ricky Williams, like, getting a whole draft class, I mean, that one is epic. Now, is any team ever going to do that ever again? The answer is no. Like, you don't have Mike Ditka, who's crazy and, you know, enamored, you know, with the wedding dress with Ricky Williams. Remember that cover on Sports Illustrated?
Strange,
it
of course, it was strange.
It was very, very odd.
That was weird.
But I think if they started getting offers that were like outside of the realm of prudence, that's when they would start.
But saying, how do you know what those offers are if you aren't really actively engaged on the phone when people call you?
Because think of it. Who's a team that really wants them? Let's say
the Panthers.
The Panthers. Okay, the Panthers are fantastic. David Tepper is a fantastic example, I should say. David Tepper is a multi-billionaire of many times over. Like, he could go buy whatever he wants. He can't go buy a player. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like Major League Baseball where you can just, you know, we're going to buy you. We're going to, you know, give you extra whatever. And then ultimately, you know, we're going to give him a new contract. And it just makes sense. You can't do that in the NFL. You have to do it with assets that are league mandated. And that is draft picks and other players. And so what can the Panthers actually give up that would make the Houston Texans interested. First round pick in 2021, first round pick in 2022, first round pick in 2023. You know what? Let's just throw in a whole draft class, right? Mm-hmm. If you got that.
Christian McCaffrey.
Yep, and Christian McCaffrey. Let's just make this thing so lucrative mm-hmm. for you, Houston, that you can't say no, right? It's that cliched, I'm making an offer you can't refuse. The problem is, who's going to actually do that? Like, I get we've gotten enamored now because of what Tom Brady did. That the team's a player away. You're never really a player away. So if you get Deshaun Watson, fantastic. But you actually by cutting your hamstrings out at the same time, mm-hmm. what's the point of it? And I think that's where there's the hang up, and that's why these talks won't ever go anywhere unless Deshaun Watson says, I'm not playing the season.
Yes, period. And he hasn't yet said that. There's been intimation right. that he's willing to sit out, take the financial hit, but he hasn't actually said that. Maybe his reps have actually communicated that to the Texans, though I think we probably would have heard that by now, based on the Texans, based on his reps leaking that. All right, so to facilitate a trade. Now, we've had Peter King on the show 30 times over the 8-9 years you and I have been doing this. We love Peter. He's not a sensationalist journalist. He's about facts. Here's why I really don't even think that they're taking calls. Listen to this opening paragraph, and then I want to – he actually went through some of the teams, including the Panthers, and I want to tell you what he thinks could get the trade done. You ready?
Go ahead.
First, he writes, over the weekend, two common themes emerged about Houston's near future. One, the Texans have one untouchable player, Watson.
Mm-hmm.
Two, Houston's not only not interested in trading Watson, but also not interested in listening to offers for him.
Mm-hmm.
At least two teams – have given offers to Houston and gotten zero feedback. Like, no reaction or, we'll get back to you, nothing.
Mm.
I read that exactly from Peter King's column.
Like not even a response? Like,
and that is irresponsible. Crazy? That's that's why I framed it the way I did. That is the height of irresponsibility. If I'm a Texans fan right now, I don't want to trade Deshaun Watson, but I want to at least know that my team's doing their due diligence evaluating in the event that we have to trade Deshaun Watson because he says he's not playing for us. I want to know what the hell we could get for Deshaun Watson.
Well, if you're the Houston Texans, what's the best case scenario, right? Given what we know Deshaun's going to do, the best case scenario is Deshaun says, you know what, I've only made $41 million in my career to date. Yes, I know I have this enormous contract that's going to pay me, you know, over 120 more, but I've only made $40 million. I really don't want to like jeopardize my reputation as a guy who's not going to go out there and play for my teammates mm-hmm. or, you know, the financial losses, because it's not just your contract forfeiture. It's also the fines that they can throw your way, which is now I forgot who told us that last week.
Is it $50,000 a day?
Yeah, I forgot who told us that last week. It's now like I think Pete Prisco told us that it's now like you can't get around it. Like the team,
you can't rescind it if you wanted to. From the team's point of view,
that's exactly right. So
correct.
It becomes financially punitive for him, and so he's gonna say, look, I'm not willing to take that financial hit, or. Does he go and he James Hardens it? You know what I mean? He
gives he's not going to do that.
And that's the thing. I don't see him as that type of player.
No.
Right? He wants to be the best that he can be. He's been that way since he was in high school. There's no chance that that's going to happen. And, you know, Houston's going to say, we have a flawed guy because he doesn't emotionally want to be here anymore.
No way. We
have to move him. And so they're in an impasse until Deshaun Watson comes out and says, I unequivocally will never play for the Houston Texans again. I don't care if it costs me $100 million.
But here's the thing. If I'm the Texans, I am begging him. I am imploring him. Please don't say that.
Why?
Because you are now giving us basically a pathway to 80 cents on the dollar for you.
Hmm.
If you tell the world, no matter what, I am never playing for the Texans, then why in the world, if I'm the Jets or Miami or Denver or the Panthers or whoever,
you wait.
I would wait this thing out. Why am I going to give you everything if I know for sure he's not playing for you? I got you.
Yeah.
You may as well show me your cards if we're playing poker. Oh, what do you got there? I got you. All right, let's keep playing. I'm in. I'll raise you. I'll see. Oh, come on. That's horrendous business. I also think it's horrendous business for the Texans not to be engaged on the phone. That is ridiculous to me.
I mean, you have to. Just to see.
But they're not.
Just to see. Well, at least then you know his worth, his value to someone else, right?
And that's my point.
Once you know his value to someone else, then it can inform you on, all right, can we turn this into a positive? Because right now,
and the answer is they can. They can turn their team around so quickly.
But right now, it's just sitting as a weight. It's like this heavy weight. And it's all negative. There's no positiveness that's coming from this. I don't know what they're waiting for, because there's no harm in hearing it, right? We already know that the relationship is, meaning hearing offers. Mm-hmm. We know that the relationship is soured. So it's not like if they take calls on Deshaun Watson and Deshaun Watson didn't know, he'd be like, oh, how dare you guys, and that lack loyalty. It's already a bad relationship. You might as well find out what the value is for him, so you know what to now up ask, you know, for his services.
Correct. So here's Peter's proposal. I'll give you the Panthers one first, since we touched on them before. You ready? Mm-hmm. It's a 7-for-1 deal. 7-for-1.
Wow.
Running backs, Christian McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. Quarterback, Teddy B, which I wouldn't want if I'm the Texans, yeah, personally.
But, I mean, you can do something. He's an asset. You can do something with it. Yeah, and if you need a bridge to whoever you find to replace him.
I hear you. Receiver, Robbie Anderson, who's got good value. He's got a year to go on his contract. Yep. Pretty good player, cheap.
Yep.
For a first round, second round picks in 2021, the 8th and the 39th pick overall.
Okay.
A first rounder in 2022, and a third round pick in 2023. And possibly the inclusion of Brian Burns as well. Somebody we had on the show, young player from Florida State.
Yeah.
A defensive end, who's a pretty promising player. So, I mean, that's a lot. And to me, it is just...
But not three first-rounders.
No, that would not equate to three first-rounders. Yeah. Because nobody really knows what they covet more. Do they covet the somewhat established player who you already know is good, who's cheap? Or do you establish all draft equity, or do you covet draft equity?
We've had this conversation a couple of times regarding draft equity, like the whole, you know, the Jets got so much back for Jamal Adams and that trade. But I think sometimes when you look at draft equity, it's also a 50-50 proposition, because you now have to draft the right person and develop him correctly, and you ultimately don't find out whether that's a successful trade, like literally a trade, until, you know, in this case, it would be 2025, right? That when you draft a guy in 2021 or 22,
yeah,
maybe he pans out in 2 years, maybe it's 3 years, but you don't know the outcome for 3 or 4 years.
Depends on the position, but I got you.
I agreed, but, you know, and this is why the Texans being so quiet on this is not frustrating, because, I mean, ultimately, it's going to play out. This is a drama that we're just watching from the outside. But it is kind of frustrating, because it's like, what's your plan, right? Mm-hmm. You stripped down your team. You fired your coach. You ostracized all of your good players, current good players.
And fans, I'm sure.
And fans. But what's your plan, right? It's like they don't have a plan. And so we're just sitting here watching as they silently stew. And I think the fear that I have for them, for the Houston Texans, is that they don't have one, right? They're playing it as it comes. You know, they're not thinking, you know, from a larger picture. They're ignoring what's right in front of them, and they're not even thinking about what's farther down the road for them. And that's the kind of organization that ultimately falls into the doldrums and has a decade of underperformance and mediocrity. And I hate that for Texans fans, because they were so good and like trending towards, man, this team could win a Super Bowl at some point, to now, like, dude, they're a rubble. They're an ashed out fire right now.
Yeah. And, you know, that's a big stadium too. We've been out there for the Super Bowl. We've been out there for the Final Four. I think it's Energy Stadium. NRG.
Yep.
Right next to the old Astrodome in Houston. It's huge, and they fill it. Like, Texans fans are good.
Of course.
Here's what I would do. This is not going to happen. If you ask me, all right, here we are. It's almost the beginning of May. Where do I really think Deshaun Watson's going to play? If Sharp Tierney had a parachute in for a segment and drop odds on this, I would say that I do not believe he's going to be on the Jets. I think there's a greater chance he's on the Dolphins, but not a great chance. I believe it's going to either be Denver or it's going to be the Carolina Panthers. Those are my two best guesses right now. But I'll tell you what I would actually do. If I'm the Jacksonville Jaguars, Now, let me ask you a question before I tell you my plan.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm the Jaguars, and I'm thinking to myself, what are the chances? I'll let you answer this. What are the chances that that Trevor Lawrence is a better pro than Deshaun Watson?
Mm.
What are the chances? Besides being very low, because he's a top five quarterback.
I'm not gonna say none.
I'm not gonna say none either, but they're not exactly something you'd want to build a fortress around.
Yeah.
Right? They're low, to my point.
I would agree.
Okay.
I would agree.
So if you work under that belief, and I think every football scout would have that conviction, even the most, you know, passionate, and I believe that Trevor Lawrence is going to be great. This is more underscoring Watson's greatness than it is denigrating Trevor Lawrence. If I'm the Jaguars, I sit there and say, let me see. How can I help myself by instilling belief in somebody who needs help, and the Texans need help? Well, I could trade for Deshaun Watson, and I could give them that number one pick.
Yeah, right? But that's never going to happen, BT.
Hold on, let me tell you, it's in the division.
I mean, there's no chance that's happening.
Okay. But from the Jaguars' point of view, I get a quarterback who's top five, top six in the game.
Who's
25 under contract.
Yep.
All right. I've got those two first-round picks for the Jalen Ramsey trade. Because I'm giving up the one, and what one represents in Trevor Lawrence, a generational quarterback, I'm not going to have to give up a lot of, like, the other teams, like the Panthers, like the Jets, like the Dolphins, like the Broncos.
Yeah.
I could get him on the cheap and still have the better quarterback.
Yeah, he's the one sure thing.
And still have the better quarterback.
Yeah, it's true. But you're also – but do the Houston Texans, who are in a precarious financial situation, can they handle $156 million? In future salary,
I'll make him take Whitney Merciless's contract. That's dead weight. That's $10 million a year. Yeah. Help me there.
Yeah.
So instead of giving up draft equity from the Jaguars' point of view, who have $70 million in cap space, by the way, I'll make him take on some dead contracts, which could, from the Texans' point of view, mitigate that.
Yeah, that's interesting because they need to do that because Deshaun Watson is actually very manageable next year. His cap number is only $16 million.
Yep.
But then it goes in 2022 to 40, 42, and then falls a little bit to 37 and 32 to end out until in 2025.
Yep.
Yeah, he's got a big number in 2022.
He does.
But you can manage it in the short term by doing what you just said and then worry about 2022 when 2022 starts to roll around.
Yep.
It's interesting.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, they're really the only team that has the bargaining power to make Houston really interested in trading that pick.
While not simultaneously depriving your talent base and stripping it down to zero.
That's right.
That's the problem. These other teams could, yes, Joe Douglas could say, I'll give you four first-round picks. The Dolphins could, all these teams could do it.
Yeah.
But if they do it, what does the team look like after they get Deshaun, number one? And why it's I think it's appealing, again, in the division, probably unrealistic, but I think you've got to think out of the box here because this is an incredibly unique situation where one of the best players of the game is hell-bent on not playing for your team ever again.
I know.
Ever. So you better do something. You better consider everything.
Good job, Texans.
I just gave them something to think of. Again, I don't think it would happen. My pick is either Denver or Carolina, but I'm going to put the Jaguars as – an incredibly small sleeper. If common sense prevails, again, it will not happen, but if common sense prevails, that should at least be talked about. Throw it around, throw it off a wall in the Jaguars headquarters, and then if you shoot it down, that's fine. But to not discuss it, to me, would be irresponsible.
Which it seems like they're doing.
We'll see. I don't know. There's no sign that they are. I'm just telling you what I would do. So let's get to this here, Keetik. Spring football kicked off this weekend. Deion had an incident, an unfortunate one. His post-game press conference was interesting. Spring football, and we'll tell you what happened with Deion, give you our thoughts on that as well. But just spring football in general. You buying it? You into it? You down with it? You watching it? Let's get to that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. March Madness, right around the corner. It's serendipity, baby! This weekend, CBS, two full days of college hoop triple headers. The action starts on Saturday at noon. With a battle, noon Eastern, that is, Big 12 matchup between Texas and Texas Tech, the Red Raiders, Coach Beard, who got booted last week. Then on Sunday, three more games capped off with a late afternoon Big Ten showdown. Iowa takes on the Buckeyes. Two college hoops, triple header Saturday, Sunday. It begins at noon Eastern and 9 Pacific. The road to the Final Four is, of course, only on CBS, and I was watching a lot of that Michigan-Buckeye game yesterday on CBS. We had a good game on Saturday, Kentucky against Tennessee. I caught a little bit of that. Wildcats look good. I caught a lot of the Michigan-Ohio State game, and I'll tell you, I mean, we know Michigan's really good, and we know Ohio State's really good. That's really what you and I grew up with, because Michigan's got 10 seniors,
mm-hmm.
11 seniors maybe.
Right.
Like the high level of play, not that there aren't other great teams, Gonzaga's terrific, and other young teams that are really good, Kentucky over the years, but there's something to be said to watch a dominant, powerful team that is senior laden. What a pleasure. What a great game on CBS.
Yeah,
that was fun.
They're one of the best teams in the country. 11-1 in the Big Ten. The Big Ten's a tough conference this year.
Yeah, as Coach Izzo.
Yep, likely to get a lot of the bids coming to the NCAA tournament. Higher bids, I should say. 16-1 overall. Yeah, you're right. They're full of seniors and juniors, and there's only a couple of freshmen.
Yeah.
Some of them, they're playing a little bit, but, I mean, most of these kids they're upperclassmen. That makes Juwan Howard's job a lot easier.
And Juwan Howard's bringing in some big-time recruits. Juwan Howard is doing what a lot of coaches have not been able to do with the college. Mm-hmm. Clyde Drexler tried it at Houston. Mully tried it at St. John's. You know, Patrick Ewing's doing it now at Georgetown. But usually the results are far more, you know, intermediate success or no success versus Juwan Howard,
yep.
Who is killing it. I mean, he is absolutely slaying it right now. So we'll see. But March Madness right around the bend. Before we know it, Selection Sunday coming up. All right, I did not see the game. I'll be honest with you. I didn't even know that Jackson State was playing. I did not even know they were playing. I'm not trying to diss anybody. I didn't know they were playing. Like this weekend, I watched some basketball I told you about. I was watching watching some golf over the weekend. And I was pretty much it. I had a game myself Saturday night in St. John's, Big East. So I'm not sitting down to watch spring football. Let's at least – first, the Deion Sanders incident with the whatever was stolen. It wasn't stolen. There was an investigation. First of all, that should never happen to anybody. I did not like it at all, actually. I did not like Deion's press conference.
No, it was bad. By the way, most people forgot about the spring football for FCS schools. A lot of the financial titans, so to speak, in the FBS realm, the ACC, SEC, etc., they could weather the financial storm of consistent testing throughout the pandemic. A lot of the FCS schools, which aren't making a ton of money, some of them are making no money,
mm-hmm.
But those not making a ton of money, they couldn't. So they canceled their seasons and pushed it back to the spring. I actually forgot about this too, BT, until I saw Brett Favre saying something about Deion Sanders, how he's going to have a great success in his college coaching career. I'm like, why is Brett Favre talking about something that's going to happen in the fall? Because I forgot that Jackson State, as well as a bunch of other FCS schools, are actually playing spring football. I think there's not a ton of teams, not all of them, but a lot of them are, and they're going to have an 8-game regular season and a 16-game postseason, which is going to be interesting because we're going to get to see how a larger postseason one elimination tournament works in real time. We're actually going to see it as opposed to hearing about it on the news.
Yep.
Now to Deion, real quick, Deion. I think he's amazing. He's a great player. He revolutionized, and created a shutdown corner in the National Football League. He won a couple championships. He's just a man, right? But he's always had an ego. And to your point about his press conference after Jackson State, I mean, destroyed this NAIA school. I don't even remember the name of it. I don't even know what it was.
I've
never heard of it either. But
I've never
after
even
the,
seen
after the,
it written.
Me either.
I honestly haven't.
After they destroyed them, like, he gets in. He's all, riled up. Yeah. I don't think we have the sound on this, but he basically he went off on the fact that all of his stuff was stolen, like his wallet and his, particulars. He says, the good thing I had my chain on because that would have got stolen too.
Mm-hmm.
When in actuality, it was found, it was probably misplaced more than it was stolen.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of talking about, his first game as a head coach in college and, usually successful, historically successful HBCU, he's talking about himself.
Yep.
Right? Like his ego can't help but get in the way.
That's Deion.
Of what's going on.
It's
like the fact that his stuff got stolen it is what it is. But you're a millionaire many times over, Dion. Like, don't worry about your stuff after your kids, who you've been coaching for, I don't know, a few weeks now, go out and they dominate in their home opener. It took all the spotlight off of the success of the program and put it squarely on Dion.
Yep, that's my assessment too. Didn't like it, didn't feel it, bad look. He doubled down on social media too.
Yep.
Now, I would say, even if you're a millionaire, and he obviously is, yeah. That, and I know that you don't mean this, that's not an excuse to feel less angered by somebody stealing. I know that you're not implying that, but
it doesn't lead the press conference.
No, it shouldn't. Even if you're destitute and you're a coach, it shouldn't. It's about the kids.
It's about the team.
That's what I'm saying. It's about the kids. About the team. It's about the accomplishment. It's about the spotlight that is on the HBCUs that I don't know has ever. I believe the 70s, 60s and 70s. There were a lot of. A lot of NFL players, they came from some HBCUs. Yeah. It's kind of tailed off a bit. But I know Howard had the five-star player basketball. Mm-hmm. I know they've since shut down their program. But there's been a spotlight. There's been a focus, a lot of energy on the HBCUs, which is great. But Dion going up there, you know, into a microphone talking about himself and his phone got stolen, his chain. Who cares?
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, nobody cares. No, nobody cares. Like, we care that you're succeeding as a coach, and it's highlighting spring football, which is what this should have been about. Instead, we're talking about Dion.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And
yep.
That's the shame of it.
It is. And by the way, I was the one who said I wish Dion Sanders got the Florida State job. Remember that? When we had that in Inbounds, Out of Bounds. I think Dion, if he's really into it, and I get the sense that he's going to be, I think Dion's mind is such a fertile place.
Yeah, I agree.
I think he could be a great coach, and hopefully he'll learn. He's a smart guy. Hopefully he learns. But the thing that's always gotten in his way, whenever anything's gotten in his way, it's not been somebody else. It's been his ego.
Yeah, yeah. He's gotta be introspective when he goes back and reviews how he handled this first press conference. If this was the day before the game, or the day, you know, 2 days before, or the day after, I get it. You can't go off like this in the press conference after the game, because at the end of the day, we care about the game. We don't care about necessarily your stuff getting stolen.
It's true. But are you going to watch?
I think we love football. We all do. And I think their FCS has long tried to gain our attention, and we just there's no room for it. Right. Mm-hmm. There's just no room for our you know, the Ivy Leagues of the world, even though I'll be heavily invested in the Ivy League.
Over the next four years. That made no. So will I be.
Yeah.
Yes. Can I come to your school? So will I be.
Yeah.
Will you let me in? Not
talking like that. yes. We'll be making some trips down to Princeton because my son will be there. But we don't see Ivy League games. Like, we don't see FCS games. North Dakota State, who has been phenomenal. I didn't realize this until I started, you know, following this weekend with the FCS schedule that went on. They haven't lost a game in 38 tries.
They're like Alabama, man.
38 straight wins. And that's with losing Carson Wentz
and
some other, you know, really great quarterbacks over the years. Or JMU's, which is, you know, right near me. I grew
James
up.
James Madison.
Yep,
great
James
school.
Madison was just down the street from UVA. In fact, we had, you know, shared parties between UVA and JMU over
Oh,
the
really?
Years. Yeah, just because it's like, nice. All right, we're going to go here this week. Next week, we're going to be there.
Yeah.
Like, they're one of the few teams that has beaten North Dakota State.
But ESPN's game day was at JMU 2 years ago.
That's right. That's right.
The defending champions.
Because Denardi, the guy who started for the Cowboys one game this year. He's a dude. Duke.
Correct.
What were they called? Duke, JMU Dukes?
James Madison Dukes.
Yep.
You have the George Mason Colonials. There's like that whole George Mason, James Madison, all good academic schools, all pretty good. Richmond's in that mix.
Randolph-Macon. Exactly. There's a bunch all in Virginia.
Yeah.
But we never see them play.
No.
So I think we're going to see them play. And it's not going to be elite football per se, but it is football, and it's meaningful football. So I think that it's a great opportunity for the FCS to showcase what they're all about. Now, does it translate when they come back and play again in the fall? Because they're not, I mean, they're playing now and play games and then postseason, and they're going to play again once the fall starts. Maybe they gain some viewers, or maybe they gain some attention. But I'm going to watch it. I think a lot of people will. I think a lot of people will because it'll be on. It'll be on in prime time. And like some people like golf and that they'll watch that instead. A lot of people don't.
That's
some people like NASCAR.
That's fair.
I mean, I really like NASCAR. I didn't see a lap of the Daytona road course, even though another first time winner won this one as well. Christopher Bell won over the weekend at the Daytona road course, just like last week. I forget the kid's name that won last year. We had him on.
The Irish
McDowell,
name, Michael McDowell.
McDowell. He won last week. He won last week.
Come on, buddy. You got to carry the man when it comes to this stuff. But if you don't remember the names, I'm not going to remember
them. Well, I mean, I don't know his name until we had him on. But I think that they have a great chance to just gain some attention, even if it's short-term attention.
Yeah.
And I think that's good for the conference.
Listen,
conferences, I should say.
I would agree. And, you know, if it goes great, maybe they want to reconsider. Maybe they always make it a spring season.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's down the road.
Yeah.
But
they've said they're not going to do that.
Well, they say that now because they haven't seen any appreciable gains yet. But if the gains start coming in and those gains equate to monetary gains, which gains usually do,
that's right.
They might have to reconsider. I am not here. I won't even stick my toe in the pool of throwing shade, except I will simply say, as I put on our Slack channel this morning, during the spring, I will be coaching baseball with my son. I will be playing a lot of golf. I will be watching meaningful NBA stuff. I will be watching a lot of golf.
Yeah, but by the way,
I will
BT,
not be watching
by
FCS
the way,
football.
Just
ever.
Don't forget, this is happening now. So
I understand that.
Spring is a misnomer.
College basketball.
This season's going to be
basketball.
Over by April.
I'm watching college basketball.
Okay.
I'm not saying they're not good. They are. I'm not saying the traditions aren't great. They are. I'm just saying for me personally, not interested. Just not interested. Just like I wasn't interested in the XFL, wasn't interested. What was the American Lions? What do we have?
I can't even.
No interest.
They can't hold a candle to college football.
I just don't have the infrastructure. I hear you.
It'll
but I'm going to stop there because I don't want to make it seem like I'm really trying to, you know, like denigrate. I'm not. I think it's awesome that they're playing. I think it's awesome that they'll have more looks and more clicks. I'm just saying respectfully, it's not for me. That's all I'm saying. Respectfully, it's not for me. But I honestly wish them the best. I really do.
You can bet on these games now.
Nah, but I have a little fun with that. Listen, you know, I'm a responsible. I have fun with that. I'm responsible. I'm not looking to just throw my attention into games, looking at my phone. I got kids. I got a family. If I start checking spreads on FCS Saturdays, it's probably time to check in somewhere. I have no interest in being that person. That's not for me. In terms of like betting and games I don't know about, no way. All right, let's get the update from Ack. We'll come back after that. Hit you with the blast. Ack, right now. Here he is. All right, going to get to the blast in a moment here. Tiki and Tierney, great start to the week. Awesome. Let's answer our Ask the Pros question of the day here, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question, and it is about Cam. It's how we started the show. This one's from Jerry in Carolina, Tiki. And he says, where do you guys think Cam's going to be playing in 2021? And how likely is it that he'll be starting in week one? Why don't you take this?
I don't think he's starting in week one. I mean, I'm going to say, let's say Chicago. Chicago sounds like an interesting spot. They can't figure out how to, because they're going to be drafted a little bit lower. I'm going to say Chicago.
Not a bad call. Do I throw a little vote in there for Washington with Ron Rivera?
I just don't know how that relationship ended.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not that I heard anything bad. I don't know, actually, off the top of my head.
Neither do I. But I think your instincts are right. As a starter, probably unlikely. But he'll be on a roster. And if he gets a chance to play, if he's healthy, maybe he plays better than he did a year ago. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every single day. So, welcome back. A million ways to follow the show. Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. Instagram, Tiki and Tierney. YouTube.com/Tiki and Tierney. Radio.com for the podcast. Apple iTunes. What did I miss? Did I miss anything? I got it all there, right, Tiki? Pretty much Facebook, if you want to do that.
Yeah. SiriusXM, you said?
SiriusXM channel 206, right. All that. Let's see.
We're everywhere.
We are everywhere. Yes, we are. We are absolutely, we are unavoidable. We are everywhere. Ready for the blast? See what we got today?
Yep. Let's hit it, brother.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. Right. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
Let's go. So as the Panthers try to upgrade a quarterback, that's the rumbling, and it's a strong one. Teddy Bridgewater, pretty frustrated at this point over the weekend. He unfollowed the Panthers on IG. Oh, it's IG official when
you're
dating.
Official.
And it's IG official when you stop following. Made his account private. All right, Teddy B.
Glad I didn't play now.
I hear you, dude. Does Teddy still deserve a shot to prove he can be a starting quarterback?
I'm going to say no to that, BT, because I don't think anyone deserves anything. You have to earn it in the NFL. It is a meritocracy, and you know, if you can't give it week in and week out, then they're gonna replace you. It is what it is. There's no questions about it. And now we've seen this start to permeate into the quarterback rooms as well as, you know, the running back rooms and every other one.
Yeah.
Sorry, Teddy. It is what it is.
I got to agree with you here. I've always been a huge Teddy fan as a person. Same with you. But he's just a limited guy. You know, he's a limited guy. He's, you know, I think on a good year, he's low 20 touchdowns. He doesn't make those wow throws. He's not a great athlete. He's a decent athlete. He's a good athlete. He's not an elite, majestic athlete, so he's not going to really wow you in the open field. He's steady. He's reliable. When he doesn't turn the ball over, he's an asset, but that kind of diminished a year ago. He was a little sloppy. I'm with you. I think if you enter next season, Teddy Bridgewater is your starting quarterback. With all due respect, you can't be expected to go very far. Now, can he fit in Washington? That's a place I would consider.
Yeah.
I don't know if it would be my first option. That defense,
good
run the ball a little bit.
Good running game, yeah.
Yeah. That, I'm not saying there's no spots for him, but I'm kind of with you. All right, being reported that the Rockets are going to part ways with big man DeMarcus Cousins in the coming days. Once Christian Wood gets back to the lineup, the often injured Boogie is averaging 9.6 points on 37% shooting while playing about 20 minutes. And I played a lot the other night, played well. If released, can Cousins add to value to a contender? I think so. I think he can. I think it would have to be the right team. I mean, let me give you a good team here. We always talk about, they don't have anybody in the front court. If you throw DeMarcus Cousins on the Celtics,
yep,
and his head screwed on the right way, and he's ready, yep, and he looks like it is, you tell me he can't help them 6 minutes a half?
Of course he can.
I think he could.
The one problem, BT, and I saw this a little bit over the weekend, they had some breakdowns on why he was going to get released. And this was reported, by the way. I think the Rockets have come out and said they're not actually going to release him. But he is a turnstile on defense.
Yeah, he can't move at all.
He cannot move. If he gets switched at the top of the key, or if you just have a big man who has some handles and he's out there, it's stealing, man.
Yep.
So I think if he's got to be limited in his defensive role, but I do think he can be an offensive a help to somebody. And the Celtics are the perfect team. That's who I was thinking of. Because it's been 2 years now we've been talking about this. Who's their big man? Right? Who's their scorer or even a potential rim protector? There is no one right now. So I'd say there's limited. Celtics are one, but yeah, I think he can be, but you got to be careful with it.
And he brings an edge and an attitude that could work if it's the right spot. So, but I'm with you. Very limited defense. I saw him play against the Knicks. I'll play a few times. He can't move at all. Like, it was alarming how he couldn't move. All right, take the NHL's outdoor game at Lake Tahoe on Saturday. The Avs and the Golden Knights, a little postponement because it was too nice out. It was too sunny. They had to wait 8 hours, the weather delay. Due to poor ice conditions, obviously getting a little sloppy. The game started at 3 Eastern, puck drop, returned at midnight. After the delay. Was it irresponsible for the NHL to continue the game after that long of a delay?
This was a tough one, BT. So I was actually watching this because I was over at my buddy's house, who's a big Flyers fan. And so we were like, oh, wait, the Tahoe thing is on. Like, where is it?
I love the outdoor games.
Like, we're trying to find it. We can't find it because it says, like, suspended. It said something suspended on one of the apps that we were looking at. Like, what the heck is going on? So then we went and looked. And because it was direct sunlight, the temperature was correct. The temperature was right, but it was direct sunlight made the conditions extraordinarily slushy. So they stopped it after a period and then waited 8 hours. And we were like, dude, what are these guys doing right now?
That's what I was wondering.
We're like, do they stay
you
in
go
their,
back to the hotel?
Stay
go
in
back
their uniforms? Like, what do you do? But then also, the game was at like 3. So they stopped it after a period. They stopped down and they start again at midnight. I mean, was it a disservice? No, because it was still cool, and it's great to see these things played by the lake. But it forced the next day's game I think, which was also, I think it was the Flyers and somebody, to start later. And so NBC lost it, right? Because they had to put it on NBC Sports
put it on
Network,
NBC Sports Network.
As opposed to NBC. Was it a disservice? No, but I mean, that was an unforeseen hiccup in what is a traditionally awesome visual watch of a hockey game.
It is, because it brings all those players back to, you know, growing up in Canada.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, just ponds, you know, playing for like playing pickup hoops in the schoolyard, in the street. That's their equivalent, just playing on a pond, finding a frozen piece of a lake that's frozen. I loved it. I love the outdoor, just the aesthetics, the visuals, the baseball stadiums, the full, like, it's great. But yes, that was a disservice. That was irresponsible. To rev your body up, to go through the pregame warm-ups, to play a little bit, and then to stop for 8 hours and come back at midnight? Completely irresponsible. No question about it. All right. I'm jealous. Florida Atlantic freshman catcher Caleb Pendleton, who we're going to have on the show, by the way. You may have seen this on social media. Made a pretty historic collegiate debut on Friday. This was sick. Hit not one, but two grand slams in the same inning in his first two career at-bats. Two at-bats, two bombs, eight ribbies, eight total bases. Mm. What? What would that be the equivalent to in, say, college? Let's say in football. What's the, do football, I'll do hoop.
Football, it's the Tony Dorsett, now also Derrick Henry, 99-yard touchdowns on the first plays of each series that you start your career with.
Oh.
So two carries.
Oh, that's good.
198 yards and two touchdowns.
That's really good. I don't know if I can top that. That's great.
Like, because that's what it is. That's the ultimate, like the ultimate success at a position.
I guess in basketball would be to break Wilt's single game record, but it's more about the immediate impact.
Yes.
I don't know that there is a basketball equivalent. I know this though. I saw the highlights. Both were hit. He's a righty hitter. We're going to have him on the show Wednesday. Good story. Two missiles to left center field. And I'm thinking, in 12 minutes, this kid has had a better career than I had in 4 years playing baseball.
He's
in
legend.
College.
Legend.
In 12 minutes.
12 minutes, he's legend.
That was just amazing. And he, you know, he's a prospect. I was kind of doing some research on the kid. Obviously, he can't get drafted until he's a junior. Ooh, blah, blah,
you looked
blah.
At the cube, the baseball cube?
No.
Oh, he's not there yet.
Not yet. But I was doing some digging, like how highly recruited he was. And, you know, he got a nice ride to FAU, which is quality baseball. He's a player. I mean, you go yard, two grand, he's two at bats, you're not bad, that's for sure. And you're going to get a lot more, you're going to play a lot more, so he'll join us on Wednesday. Quick show, great show, Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. Tiki, I'll see you tomorrow, buddy.
Yep, be good, brother.
All right, awesome. Follow us wherever you want to get your Tiki and Tierney content, Instagram, Facebook, social media. Have a great Monday, safe, sensible, sane. We'll see you soon.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.